to hear your word. Lord, I think back in my own life, the effect that your word has had upon me. Lord, I know that I am the person that I am because of your word, your spirit, and who you are. Lord, I pray today that as I begin to preach your word, teach your word, God, that your word would settle in our hearts, that we would go from here being challenged to grow, mature into all that you desire for us to be. I ask you, Lord, to open each and every heart to the anointing of your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit might be able to speak directly into the hearts of your people, that you might speak through my words and my mouth this morning, Lord, that this would be an anointed time in your presence, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. In the scriptures, we find that when Jesus called various individuals, he called them to follow him. He called them to be his followers. Now, how many know that it's much easier to describe yourself as a Christian? Because that takes on more of a wide spectrum of meaning when you say, yes, I'm a Christian. Do you realize that there is a large percentage of Americans that call themselves Christians? But if you were to tell somebody, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, that kind of narrows that definition down a little bit more, doesn't it? I am a follower of Christ. Really, that's what a Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm one of his followers. And today I'd like to begin a two-part series here on being followers of Christ. And I want to talk about today, what kind of a follower are you? How many know there are different kinds of followers? But what kind of a follower are you? Now I'm going to talk about three different kinds of followers as far as Christians are concerned. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9 it says, then as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And then we find again in John 1 and verse 43, you don't need to turn there, but it simply says, the following day Jesus went to Galilee, and he found Philip, and said to him, follow me. Now these were two of the 12 disciples, and I could bring out other scriptures in which Jesus called Peter and James and John and others, with the same type of call to follow me. You see, when Jesus came to you, he came with that same call. He said, follow me. And I want to challenge you today as to what degree you have obeyed that call. How are you following Jesus Christ? What kind of a follower are you? Webster's dictionary defines the word follow. It says to go, to proceed, or to come after, to accept as authority, to obey, to copy, or to imitate. In other words, Jesus said to Philip and to Matthew, he says, I want you to come and follow me. I want you to imitate the things that I do. To be like me in all things. In Philippians, we find the Apostle Paul where he encourages us to be like-minded in Christ in all things. That Christ is our example to whom we are following. And that we need to look to Jesus as our primary example as to who we are following. And then there are some situations where Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so we do follow man to a certain degree as they follow Christ. But our ultimate person in whom we are following is Jesus Christ himself. Webster's goes on to say, concerning the definition of follow, it says to engage in as a calling or way of life. It's a way of life. Christianity is a way of life. To attend closely to. In other words, there's something that you're attending to. Something that you're attending very closely to. To keep abreast of with interest. There's an interest in which, you know, you are following. To go or come after a person or thing in place, time, or sequence. And so when Jesus says, I want you to follow me, he's talking about something more than just looking to him as a Savior. He says, I want you to come after me. When he called some of the other disciples, he says, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He says, I will change you. You in the past, you were fishers. You caught fish, but I'm going to teach you how to catch men. I'm going to change you. The definition of a follower is one who is in service of another, one that follows the opinions or teachings of another. One that imitates another. And so today I want to talk about what it means, what it really means to be a follower of Christ. I'll actually be talking more about that next week. Today I want to talk more specifically about what kind of a follower are you. I'm going to talk about three different kinds of followers. And you will fall into one of these categories. And so in the New Testament we find many, many examples of people who followed Jesus. Many examples of those who followed Christ. My purpose today is for each and every one of us to examine our hearts and to discern how closely am I following Christ? How closely am I following what Jesus said I should do? How much is my life being changed because of who I am following? How many know that if you were to immerse yourself with a bunch of people of bad reputation, that you would change and you would become like them in many ways? You would begin to put on their characteristics. You would begin to act like them. You would be doing things that would violate your own conscience because you would have immersed yourself into that group mentality. But it works the other way as well. When we immerse ourselves with people who are following after Jesus, doesn't it? We begin to put on those characteristics that belong to Christ. And so as we follow Christ, we influence those around us. And it's very important that we all understand how that influence works. Because in most situations, you are either influencing others or others are influencing you. And if you are being influenced by Christ, I believe because of your following Him, you will also influence those around you. But today as we look at this, I want us to understand that no matter who we are in the kingdom of God, no matter who you are, if Jesus has set His love upon you, of which He has, the Bible says He's set His love upon all of us. Amen? There's no partiality in God. He loves everyone. He has called everyone to repent. He's called everyone unto salvation. And that call goes out. And when we respond to that call, There has to be something within us that rises up and says, yes, I will follow. I will obey. I will do what you have commanded me to do. And so no matter who we are, we have all, everybody here this morning, everyone has been called to follow Jesus in the same manner that Philip was called, in the same manner that Matthew was called. Now, obviously, our gifts and our graces and our positions are all going to vary, but we're all called to follow Jesus in one degree or another. And so my question today for you is, what kind of a follower are you? In the New Testament, we find, as I said, examples of people who followed Christ. There were some who simply followed the crowd. They were a part of the crowd that was following Jesus. How many see that? It talks about here, multitudes followed Him. And there were some that were just following the multitudes. Just a part of the crowd. And then there were some who followed at a distance. We find that there was an occasion where Peter was following at a distance. When we're following at a distance, there's kind of a desire to want to see what's going on and to somewhat experience what is going on, but there lacks a total commitment to being a true follower. And then there are those who follow Christ closely. Closely. Imitating and obeying the things that they were commanded to do. And so those are the three types of followers. Very general. Those who are following just to be a part of the crowd, in the crowd, following the crowd as a crowd follows Jesus. And then there are those who follow at a distance. And then there are those who follow Jesus very, very closely. Hopefully today, you will come to the conclusion, or you will be able to come to some conclusion of where you are at in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and to what degree you are following Him. Let's look first of all at those who follow the crowd. We find in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 25. Matthew 4 and verse 25. I'll begin with verse 23, just to pick up the whole context here. It says, "Now Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then His fame went throughout Syria, and they brought to Him all the sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed and epileptics, and paralytics, and He healed them all." And so there was something about Jesus here, something that was happening that was attracting multitudes. From all the surrounding regions, multitudes were coming to Jesus. He was what was happening at that moment. And He was attracting crowds. So multitudes followed Him. Great multitudes from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there? To be just one of those multitudes? Watching Jesus perform wonders and signs and miracles, healing everyone that came to Him, casting out the demons. Been one of the crowd. There's nothing wrong with being a part of the crowd. If your eyes are on Jesus rather than the crowd. But how many know that within the crowd, a lot of people just get caught up in the crowd rather than in Jesus? They become a follower of the crowd rather than a follower of Jesus. And we find again in John chapter 6 and verse 2 where it says, "A great multitude followed Him." Why? Why was this great multitude following Jesus? Because they saw the signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And at one point Jesus said, "You're only following me because of the signs. Wondering what you can receive." And so we see from these passages that there are multitudes upon multitudes that followed Jesus. Crowds of people that followed Jesus. But I believe that within these multitudes, there were people with varying degrees as to how they were following Jesus. There were some that were just a part of the crowd, and if the crowd would have decided to go this way, they would have went that way with the crowd. They would have got swallowed up into the mentality of the crowd. Let me just explain that to you a little bit. Remember when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem before his crucifixion on the donkey, and the crowds were hailing him as the King of the Jews, the Messiah, giving him praise and honor. And the Pharisees and the scribes came and rebuked him and told him to shut everybody up. And he says, if they be quiet, the rocks themselves will burst out with praise. And so here was a crowd that was just caught up in that moment of glory as Jesus was coming into the gates of Jerusalem, worshiping him and praising him. And only a few days later, the same crowd of people crucified Jesus because a few people got out and stirred the crowd up and caused them to chant, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They began to go with the flow of the crowd because their eyes were not on Jesus. They were not following Jesus. They were following the crowd. You know, I was just watching something on television the other night. One of these lawyer programs or whatever. And they were dealing with someone who had killed another individual because of a crowd getting out of control. And the whole defense was based upon the fact, and they won. The whole defense was based upon the fact that this person was not acting in their normal behavior. They were acting in the behavior of the crowd. And that they were not accountable for their actions because of that. Because they got caught up in the mood of the moment. And that's what happened with all of these people who were chanting, "Crucify Jesus." They got caught up with the mood of the moment. Because they were following the crowd. I believe today, in today's church world, we find many, many, many people who are simply following wherever the crowd is going. Wherever the latest gimmick is taking place. You know, the signs and the wonders. Signs and wonders. How many know if we had, you know, if in this service, which I pray that would happen, but if there were people being healed every Sunday, people rising up from their heel chairs and so on, that this place would be packed out and people would be trying to get in. And a lot of those people would, and then say that the Spirit just kind of settled and hovered over here and all this was happening, and then a few weeks later it went over to the next church. That there would be a certain crowd of people that would just kind of flow along with that. Because they're wanting to see the signs and the wonders and all of that, rather than really following Jesus. You see, some of these people followed Jesus in the crowd for good reasons. Some of these people followed for not so good of reasons. And there were some that were simply following the flow of the crowd, but never really committing themselves to be true followers of Christ. They were just following the flow of the crowd. And that's what we want to be careful of. Not to follow the flow of the crowd, but to be true followers of Christ. They wanted to get a peek of what was going on. and what was really taking place there. But lacking that desire to know Christ in a deeper and more committed way. And you know what happened to a lot of these people? Turn over with me to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, we find Jesus talking about some of the harder truths concerning Himself. He's talking to the multitude. He's talking to the crowds. He's talking about Himself, how they must drink His blood and eat His body. A lot of them didn't understand that. The disciples didn't even understand what He was talking about. But their faith was in Jesus. They trusted Jesus because they were followers of Christ. But it says in verse 66, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. You know why? Because they were on the outer fringe, only there as followers of the crowd and not true followers of Christ. And so He said they walked with Him no more. And then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" Then Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" You see, they had become followers of Jesus to the degree that they knew that Jesus had the answers. They knew that He represented something more than what they were or what they had seen. They didn't have a total understanding of everything that was going on, but there was an element of trust because they had been following Christ. Then Simon Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The danger of following the crowd is getting caught up in deception. All it takes is two or three in the crowd to begin to promote this or to promote that. And the others begin to flow with the crowd because they're lacking that true, close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says many fell away. But Peter and the disciples, what did they do? They hung closely. They clung closely to Jesus. They didn't fall away because they were following Christ. Even though they were a part of the crowd, they were following Christ. Many people in this predicament were led astray. You know why? Because they were simply more interested in following the crowd than following Christ. And today, where does your chief interest lie? Is it following simply to follow the crowd and do what the crowd wants to do? Or is it really to follow Christ? In 2 Peter in chapter 2, it gives us some warning as to what happens when we begin to follow those within the crowd that can lead us astray. It says, "Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." And so, it's just like that person I was just telling you about on television the other night, who committed a murder because of what the crowd was doing, the influence of the crowd. There's many people who get innocently led astray because they're under the influence of the crowd rather than under the influence of Christ. And then there are those who follow at a distance. This person follows at a distance. They're wanting to see what's going on and even be somewhat identified with Christ, but lacking a total commitment. And I think we've all experienced a degree to that in our own walks at times. How many know that there are times in our own walks where we're closer to Christ than we are at others? And there are times where we kind of step back and follow at a distance because of something that may have occurred, an offense, a hurt, disillusionment, or whatever. We've been wounded. And so we begin to follow at a distance, not really giving in that total commitment that Christ requires. There's a danger in that as well. Peter is a good example of this. Peter was one of Christ's closest followers. He's one of the three that Christ would take with Him to special places. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration with John and James. When Jesus, you know, His clothes became bright and Elijah and Moses appeared. Peter was right there. One of the close disciples. Yet there came a time in Peter's life. And we know that as Jesus began to talk to Peter and the other disciples about what he was going to experience in Jerusalem and be killed, that Peter had a violent reaction to that. He did not want to accept that. And in fact, he went and he pulled Jesus aside and rebuked Jesus. He says, you realize what you're saying here? And what was Jesus' response? He says, Satan, get behind me. But see, Peter was speaking out of human interest. And he was setting himself up for a time of failure. And so when it came to the time when Christ was being crucified and going through the whole trial and everything, the Bible says that Peter followed at a distance. We find this in Matthew 26 and verse 58. Talks about the other disciple, who I believe was John, went in with Jesus, was very close to Jesus during this whole trial, suffered with Christ during this trial, experienced the humiliation that Jesus was experiencing there as the scribes and the Pharisees were dealing with Him and calling Him all kinds of names and tormenting Him and all of that. John was right there watching all of that, very close to Jesus. But Peter, it says, withdrew. He followed at a distance. I believe at that point, something took place in Peter's heart. He wasn't as committed. He saw Christ, the one whom he had put his trust in, being taken by the authorities, and he was going through this time of disillusionment, and what have I set myself up for? But there was enough in him to continue to follow at a distance. But as he followed at the distance, when others began to question him, weren't you one of his followers? What did Peter do? He denied him, didn't he? He denied him. Peter's heart was not totally committed to Jesus at this point. And as a result, when the moment of crisis came, he wavered in his faith and denied Christ. Now, how does that relate to you and me? I believe that there are times in our lives where we have been close to Christ and certain things begin to happen that we're not too happy about. And the darkness kind of comes over us. And we fall into a time of disillusionment. We fall into a time of hurt. We fall into a time of offense. And as a result, we begin to withdraw. We begin not to follow Christ as closely. And then what happens is a major crisis may come into our lives. And here we are now following Christ at a distance rather than following Him very closely. And so we're not prepared to respond in a mature way in which Christ desires. And we end up making some crucial mistakes and blunders that hurt ourselves. Because our faith wavers in that time where we're following at a distance. And so that says to me, there's a danger there. How many know that Jesus is a forgiving God? He forgave Peter, didn't he? He forgives you when you blow it. He forgives me when I blow it. But how many know that when you blow it in a time of crisis, when you blow it in a major time when you should be making some right directions, moving in the right way, that can, the consequence of that, see, can affect your life in a negative way. It has nothing to do with forgiveness. How many know that David was forgiven of his sin? When David sinned with Bathsheba, he was forgiven. But I'll tell you what, there were some consequences. I believe David's sin was a result of following at a distance, where in times past he had followed closely. And there were some consequences that David had to pay. And when we make major mistakes with our lives, even though Christ forgives us, there are consequences that we have to deal with. It brings us into further hardship at times. But I believe this at the same time, that as I continue to focus on Christ and becoming close with Him, that Christ will take those crooked steps that I have now made and begin to straighten them back out. And so we can be a person who just follows with the crowd. We can be another person who follows at a distance. And he was setting himself up for a time of failure. And so when it came to the time when Christ was being crucified and going through the whole trial and everything, the Bible says that Peter followed at a distance. We find this following at a distance. He says it's possible to be a follower of Jesus without being a disciple. To be a camp follower without being a soldier of the King. To be a hanger-on in some great work without pulling one's weight. How many have ever been involved in some big project and there are those that are just in there just giving it everything they can, and there's some on the outskirts, you know, kind of picking up this here and picking up that there, you know, just doing enough to say they were there and a part of it. Once, someone was talking to a great scholar about a younger man. He said, "So-and-so tells me he's one of your students." The teacher answered devastatingly, "He may have attended one of my lectures, but he was not one of my students." There's a world of difference between attending lectures and being a student. It is one of the supreme handicaps of the church that in the church there are so many distant followers of Jesus and so many real disciples. You see, distant followers do not make real disciples who change the kingdom of God, who advance the kingdom of God. Then finally, I want to talk about those who follow Christ closely. This is the kind of follower that I believe Christ is really looking for. Those who are following closely. And my prayer this morning is that every one of us would find ourselves in this category, or at least set our sights on being in this category. This type of follower is the person who stays close to Christ through obedience and a wholehearted commitment. He's the type of follower, or she's the type of follower, that is not afraid to stay close to Christ in the midst of His sufferings. He says we must get to know Christ and fellowship with Christ in His sufferings. How many know it's easy to be a part of something when everything is going great? See, when Jesus was doing great, and all the crowds were flocking to Him, everybody wanted to be a part of that. But when things began to turn, And he went through the whole Sanhedrin and the crucifixion and everything. Many, many, many left him. Isn't it incredible that after all of those multitudes, there were only 120 left to be in the upper room at the day of Pentecost? I find that very, very incredible. But there are those who follow with a wholehearted commitment. John 14 and verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." He says, if you want to be one who follows Christ closely, it's a matter of keeping his word. Having that intimate fellowship with the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. I believe this is a person who takes up his cross daily and follows Christ. He's a person, or she's a person, who forsakes all to be with Christ. How many know that the early disciples, they literally had to forsake all to stay in close proximity to Jesus as he traveled around the country? I believe Christ is calling us to forsake all too, in a different way, just giving him lordship over all that we have. That's what it takes to remain close. Next week I'm going to talk about more specifically this area of following after Christ. What it really takes to follow closely after Christ. But I believe that we have to be willing to take up that cross daily, to forsake all, to give the Lord possession over all that we have. And I believe as we do that, that just as there were dangers in those who followed the crowd and those who followed at a distance, there will now be blessings for those who follow closely. John 15 and verse 4 says, "Abide in me and I in you." He's talking about a close relationship here. A close fellowship. "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." You see, let me say this. Even in the church, it's easy to get caught up in just the church stuff and lose sight of that close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be careful of that. That Jesus is always at the center, that we're following Jesus and not the church. We must continue to follow closely after Him. That has to be the preeminence. He says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." That's where the fruit comes from. By abiding in Him, by staying close to Him, by following after Him in a very close way. Then in verse 7 it says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." You see, that promise is not given to the person who is following at a distance. That promise is not given to the person who's just simply a part of the crowd. It's given to the person who is following after Christ very, very closely. Whatever you desire. You know why Jesus can say that with such authority? Because when you're following after Christ with that close, your desires will be His desires. He will have put His desires in you, godly desires. And so he says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples." And then concluding with 1 John 3 and verse 22, where it says, "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." That was one of the first scriptures when I first got saved that took a hold of my life. I call that my motivation scripture. It motivated me to pursue the kingdom of God. Because see, in this scripture it's saying, if you will just obey me, if you will just do that what's pleasing in my sight, I will cause the things that are important to you to come to pass. He says, whatever you ask, you will receive. And so as we can see, there are three different levels that people follow Christ. The one who's just a part of the crowd, being influenced by the crowd. The one who follows at a distance. And the one who follows closely. And the question you must ask yourself this morning is, what kind of a follower am I? Where am I at in this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you one who follows Christ as part of the multitudes? One who follows at a distance? Or are you one who's desiring to follow as closely as you can? Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your word. Lord, that this word would just settle upon our hearts. That each and every person here today would make that commitment to you to follow closely with you, to become imitators of you, to lay their lives down, forsake all, taking up that cross daily, Lord, that we might bear the fruit that you so desire. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. As Scott plays a song, I encourage you to just make that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you feel you need to come and pray and have someone pray with you, we encourage you to do that. Amen.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning.
No turning back. service is dismissed. Go in the grace of God.